This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. The Senate Transportation Committee will now come to order. Welcome to everyone here in the room and to anyone who might be listening online. If you are in the room, please make sure that your phone is turned to shush. With that, Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Senator Crabtree?
Here.
Heinert? Excused. Shane Fish?
Here.
Here. Simmons?
Here.
Zickmund?
Here.
Castleberry?
Here.
Duvall?
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right, we do have a quorum. We also have minutes from a meeting on February 17th. Anybody? Senator Zickmund moves. Senator Simmons seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, the minutes are approved. Pages, would you please come up and introduce yourselves?
My name is Colin Ingebretson. I go to Platt Geddes High School, and I plan to attend USD and major in law.
Good morning. My name is Madeline Ike, and I'm from Oldham Ramona High School. I'm a senior this year, and I have no future plans, and like always, I'm open to suggestions.
Thank you both for spending a couple of weeks with us here in Pierre. With that, we will move right into our first agenda item, Senate Concurrent Resolution 606, a concurrent resolution commending automotive enthusiasts in South Dakota and the Specialty Equipment Market Association for their contributions in preserving classic automobiles and urging the governor to declare a South Dakota Collector Car Appreciation Week. Proponent testimony.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I know that everybody behind me is here to listen to my bill, so no others. But anyway, it's a pleasure to be here again. My name is Representative Senator Larry Zickmund. I'm from District 14, and on this committee. We're going to do a little bit of a fun bill and a fun resolution here. SCR 606 is a resolution commending automotive enthusiasts in South Dakota for their contributions, and I say contributions, in preserving classic automobiles and urging the governor to declare South Dakota Collector Car Appreciation Week the last week in August. Last year, if you remember, I did a resolution for August 27th, and that was so well received that we're coming back, and I'll go through that here to try for a week. There currently are 52 known car clubs in South Dakota, with many more car collectors, and there are over 100 car shows known in South Dakota every year, where people come from all over to go to these shows and attend and participate in these car shows. In 2020, like I said, we passed a resolution for these car collectors for Car Collectors Appreciation Day, and the governor did sign a proclamation for August 27th to coincide with Cool Deadwood Nights, Automania, and I was thinking again this morning, all of us know Dave Geisler from Murdo, et cetera, et cetera. So we've got a lot of them. In fact, I bought a couple of cars from Dave, and he's really into these old cars. This year, we would like to extend this to 1 week due to the popularity of the owners having pride in these automobiles. Some of our people have been on radio. I've been on radio interviews in different parts of the country, and not only was I interviewed for August 27th, but we got into other things talking about the bike rally and other things that we do here in South Dakota, so it was a PR kind of thing. And we've also worked with National SEMA, which is a Specialty Equipment Market Association, which has always offered free support in their national news. In fact, some of our former and current legislators are members of SEMA. So I would invite you to take a look at it. We can get you applications, whatever, and we can get you to be a member. It doesn't cost anything. It's free. I was in their national newsletter with several pictures and articles that I had to do for them, et cetera. And they're a national organization, and they do a lot of things for collector car people that, and legislatively all over the country. So with that, Madam Chair, I would recommend your approval and for SDR 606. We have a lot of good car collectors out there, and we just want to say thank you and for everything that they do. And you don't see very many of them out. I think there's supposed to be one here today from one of our constitutional officers. So if you see a 68 convertible out there, Cutlass convertible, he said he'd bring it just to show. So anyway, he's supposed to have the top down. But anyway, we would appreciate your vote on this, and let's move forward and let's have some fun. We're the Cool Deadwood Nights. I'm working with them on some stuff, and like I said, Automania and some other car shows, and I'm a member of three different car groups and in the state, and so we appreciate all their help and the economy that it brings into the state of South Dakota. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. I think that car belonging to the constitutional officer has been in the Fort Pierre Parade on July 4th every year for a lot of years. Further proponent testimony for SCR 606. Is there any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we will waive rebuttal. Are there any questions or comments or a motion from the committee?
Madam Chair.
Senator
Make Crabtree. A motion, do pass.
Do pass. Second. All right. We have a do pass motion from Senator Crabtree, seconded by Senator Castleberry. Any remarks?
None needed. I think the good senator from Sioux Falls summed it up.
Thank you very much. With that, we have a do pass motion. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Senator Crabtree?
Aye.
Heinert?
Excused.
Shane Fish?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Zickman?
Aye.
Castleberry?
Aye.
Duval?
Aye.
We have 6 yeas and 1 excused.
Very good. With a unanimous vote, that goes forward, and we will put that on the consent calendar unless Senator Zickman wants to talk about it on the floor. Okay, that will go on the consent calendar then. Thank you very much. Moving on to our next bill, House Bill 1061, an act to prohibit smoking and consuming marijuana and its derivatives in a motor vehicle and create a penalty therefore. Proponent testimony, please. Thank you.
Mary Fitzgerald, District 31. Representative Fitzgerald. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. I bring to you House Bill 1061. 1061 is an act to prohibit smoking and consuming marijuana and its derivatives in a motor vehicle. The purpose of this bill is to deter the use of marijuana in a motor vehicle. Marijuana alters a user's perception, affects coordination, judgment, and reaction time, and marijuana and its derivatives cause almost an immediate intoxication or impairment. If you go to Section 1 of my bill on 1061, it would prohibit any person operating or in actual physical control of a motor vehicle from smoking or consuming marijuana or marijuana concentrate. Section 2 would prohibit a person occupying a motor vehicle from smoking marijuana or its derivatives while the vehicle is being operated. This is a real simple, easy bill, and with the medical marijuana becoming legal here in the near future and possibly recreational marijuana. This is just trying to address what could become a problem. It's kind of a problem already, but with the passing of these new laws, eventually it will become even more applicable. I would just ask you to please listen to the testimony and just think that this bill is to protect our citizens, save lives, and to keep our roads safe from impaired drivers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1061. Further proponents.
Morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Jason Husby with the Department of Public Safety. Department of Public Safety supports House Bill 1061 in order to deter consuming marijuana or marijuana products in a motor vehicle on a public highway. Actively consuming any impairing or psychoactive substances while driving a motor vehicle creates obvious safety concerns and leads to impaired drivers. Alcohol consumption in a motor vehicle by the driver or passengers is currently illegal and has been illegal in some form since 1939. The changes made by House Bill 1061 are needed today regardless of the outcome of recreational or medical marijuana laws. Deterring impaired drivers keeps our roads safer. This bill does not restrict passengers of a vehicle from consuming a marijuana-based prescription. Passengers are essentially prevented from smoking marijuana. We don't want them smoking marijuana because the smoke would get throughout the vehicle and could cause the driver to, we call it a contact high, or, you know, secondhand smoke. A violation of this law would be a Class 2 misdemeanor, which is a citation, a ticket, and that's right in line with what the current open alcoholic beverage container is also a Class 2 misdemeanor. What this law doesn't do is change the DUI statute. So if somebody is in violation of this law and they're operating the vehicle, the trooper or law enforcement could still conduct a driving under the influence investigation, and this does not inhibit that. Thank you for your time this morning, and I'll be standing by for questions.
Thank you very much. Further proponents for House Bill 1061.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Tim Rave, representing Sadaho. That's all 54 nonprofit hospitals in the state, 46 long-term care facilities. I rise just briefly in support of the bill, Madam Chair. Two things. One, our association does not support driving intoxicated. And two, we also oppose putting smoke in your lungs. It's the Rave rule. Nothing should go in your lungs except for oxygen. I ask you to support the bill. I'd stand down, Madam Chair, and stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further proponents.
Morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Aaron Scheibe. I'm an attorney here in Pierre, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota States Attorneys Association. We've worked very closely with Representative Fitzgerald on this bill as it's kind of gone through the process. I would urge your support for it for a number of reasons. Just by way of background, this bill actually, I think, engendered some healthy debate over on the other side. Largely centered around with the potential for medical marijuana, what sort of types of protections do we want to have for passengers who need some pain relief? And we were able to go through several iterations and some discussions over on that side before arriving at the bill that you see today. And I think the bill today does a really good job of getting at the heart of the issue. And if we just take a step back, it really is about stopping impaired driving. And so when you see the bill today that basically states that a driver cannot smoke or consume marijuana while driving, that's really at the heart of the issue. And then the passengers not being able to smoke is just what Major Husby talked about. You don't want somebody, hotboxing going down the highway. So really this is, I think, a common sense bill. It does a lot to, I think, kind of clean up some ambiguity in some areas within our statute and code that we're going to need to address going forward. And so on that basis, we'd urge you to support. Also bring you a message from Charlie McGuigan. He was not able to be here today. I wanted to pass along a quick me too on his behalf as well. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Further proponents.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Eric Erickson representing the South Dakota Municipal League. We also rise in support of this bill for the reasons referenced by the prior proponents. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Come on up.
Committee members, Doug Abraham. I'm an attorney from Pier and registered lobbyist for DeSmit Insurance Company and DeSmit Farm Mutual. We think this is a bill that just simply makes sense. Impairment can occur not instantaneously, but not far from that when we're talking about the ingestion of marijuana. That's not something that should be occurring on our roadways. So we think this is a smart bill to allow enforcement and keep our roadways safe. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1061? Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1061? Seeing none, we will waive rebuttal and move into committee questions. Discussion, Senator Heinert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess this would be maybe Aaron or another attorney in the room. What is lacking in our current impaired driving laws that we would need this?
Madam Chair, Senator, thank you for the question. So, really, right now we have an alcohol open container statute, but we don't have anything quite similar for on the marijuana side, and that's really at the heart of the issue.
Okay. Follow up. So, as I'm reading this, it says, while smoking or consuming marijuana or marijuana concentrate. So, to me, the way that reads is you would have to actually catch them with a bowl or a joint or whatever while driving. My question is, if they have used marijuana the day before, they're not under the influence, but obviously that's going to show up in whatever type of test you would give them. They're not impaired, but they would have been driving while this is in their system.
Sure. Madam Chair. So I appreciate the question, Senator, and maybe want to make sure we just sort of clarify what we're talking about here. I mean, when you say that you would have to, law enforcement would have to see somebody smoking or consuming while operating that vehicle, that is true. That is what we're trying to get after here. So if somebody had used the day before and was not exhibiting symptoms of impairment, and there was no visual evidence that they were smoking or consuming, that's outside the scope of the bill here. So should this bill pass and be enacted into law, that type of situation would not be covered. If your question, Senator, is sort of going to the question of how do you test or detect impairment, that's handled under a different statute. And again, that statute currently allows law enforcement to administer a field impairment test, and based on that, they would then make a decision of whether there was in fact probable cause to effect an arrest.
And just one last follow-up. What level of confidence do I have knowing that this, if this becomes law, isn't going to be abused by state's attorneys or law enforcement? You're not going to charge people with this when, they didn't do it while operating, but it is in their system.
Madam Chair.
Well, and we also might want to hear from Major Husby on this issue, too. I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit.
So I'll try to answer very briefly and then maybe just turn it over to my colleague. The elements of the offense here is that you have to be able to demonstrate beyond a reasonable doubt that an individual had smoked or consumed the marijuana or concentrate while they were operating a vehicle. And so if there is no evidence to show that they were in fact smoking or consuming, so visual or witness testimony, and that in fact they were not operating a vehicle, there is no cause for prosecution here. And so prosecutors are not in the business of trying to take cases to court that are going to end up, a day-long trial about whether somebody was smoking or consuming marijuana. I think from the matter of kind of prosecutorial economy, we would only be taking things forward that really did clearly meet the elements of the statute and the test here. And I'll defer to Major Husby maybe for how law enforcement in the field would deal with that.
Yes, if you would, please. Just walk us through how you anticipate being able to enforce this law if it goes into effect.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Jason Husby with Department of Public Safety, Highway Patrol. And I think I see where the senator's question is, and I'm going to forecast just a little bit that I think we all understand that medical marijuana will be in effect in South Dakota within the very near future. So I don't want to paraphrase, and please correct me, Senator, if I'm wrong, but let's say we have a legal holder of a marijuana card. They're a cancer patient, whatever it is. And I understand that a lot of us have compassion because we know people with those conditions. And that person is illegally consuming some form of marijuana in their home. The following day, they need to operate a motor vehicle and go to work, go to a doctor's appointment, whatever it is. The concern there would be is, hey, we don't want this person caught in a dragnet of all these laws that are hitting. So I think the primary thing we have to concentrate on is and that person gets stopped for speeding on the way to their, and I realize I'm making a scenario here, but I'm trying to frame it into my mind a little bit. I'm definitely not as articulate as Mr. Shaby or Representative Fitzgerald, so I'm trying here a little bit, but that person gets stopped for speeding on the way to Avera to their cancer appointment. So first of all, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm going to guess that if I asked how many people had been pulled over in this room, a significant amount of hands would go up. Mine would go up. But how many people in this room were then asked to do field sobriety tests? And I'm guessing a significant portion of hands would drop at that point. Because when law enforcement stops somebody, yes, they're stopping you for speeding or bad driving or whatever, but they're looking for signs and indicators and symptoms of somebody that's under the influence. And it could be under the influence of alcohol, methamphetamine, marijuana, a variety of things. And then they move into that set of field sobriety tests. So if you consumed your medication the day before or 2 days before, and now you're operating a vehicle, from my research on marijuana derivative, now the concentrates can have an onset much quicker, but typical plant-based marijuana has an onset at about 40 minutes and then carries through to about 5 hours. While yes, it would still be in your system in a urinalysis, it's not necessarily going to be in your system in your blood, or is it going to be exhibiting signs and symptoms of impairment? I would use the same thing if I've been prescribed some type of like hydrocodone for an injury. If you're taking the correct dose in a homeopathic amount, that should not impair you if you are taking it according to your physician. The problem we get into is when people overindulge in obviously anything. That's alcohol included. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is law enforcement needs to see those signs and symptoms. So according to this bill, I would need to walk up as a police officer and smell burnt marijuana. Okay, that's going to be my first key and indicator. Or I would need to see that driver is impaired. Now remember this law, I want to go back to the previous scenario where we have a patient. My wife has some condition that she's prescribed Marinol for severe nausea. As a passenger, she can be as impaired as she wants. There's nothing in our state law that prevents that. So let's say she is impaired because she needed Marinol because she was very sick this morning. If I'm operating the car, law enforcement stops them, I'm not going to smell marijuana because she wasn't smoking it. And if the driver's clear, I'm going to move on with whatever it was, speeding or whatever, and they're going to go on their way. So I hope that answers the question. It took more time than I wanted, Senator, but I'm trying to frame it up.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Madam Chair.
Any further questions, comments, discussion, and or action? Senator Crabtree.
I'd move to pass.
Second.
All right. It has been moved by Senator Crabtree, seconded by Senator Simmons. Do pass. Do you care to make any comments?
the only comments I'd state is it seems like it puts some sensible regulation in for how we're going to handle this moving forward as we implement medical marijuana into our law.
Thank you. Any further comments? Senator Heinert?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, nobody wants the road full of impaired drivers. I am a little concerned that this will be used as a potential dragnet and to catch some people up that aren't impaired but are users. That bothers me. I guess I'll support the bill right now, but I'm going to watch this very closely and ask for, you know, next year or after this goes into effect, how many people did we arrest under this statute? And if it's a considerable number, and then I think maybe then we can revisit it. But you know, that's just me being cautious, I guess. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments? All right. We have a do pass motion in front of us on House Bill 1061. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Senator Crabtree?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Shane Fish?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Zickman?
Aye.
Castleberry?
Aye.
Duvall?
Aye.
We have 7 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. That bill then will go to the floor. But I don't think that we want it on consent. Oh, all right. We'll put it on consent if no one objects. All right. House Bill 1061 goes to the floor on the consent calendar. Thank you very much. That concludes all the bills that have been assigned to our committee. Thank you, guys. It's been fun. One thing I am tossing around in the back of my mind is I had a really interesting presentation from the Department of Transportation on some of the cool new technology things they're doing as they are reconstructing the interstate between Sturgis and Tilford. And I might see if I can find a time for them to come over just to walk us through some of the cool things that they are doing with Department of Transportation. If that comes together, you will be the second to know. So, motion to adjourn?
So moved.
No, it's going to be cool. All right. It's been moved by Crabtree, seconded by Simmons to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, we are adjourned. Thank you.